This is Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze, giving you the advice and information on protecting what matters the most in today's world. Phone lines open, 238-5775, 238-KPRL.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Protecting What Matters. I'm Barry Fisher.
And I'm Susan Blaze.
PWM, Protecting What Matters, is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore institutions and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. Today's show features John Couch, the president and chairman of the board of the Astrea Warbirds Museum. Other topics today, well, you're just going to have to wait. We got a growing stack of articles to share with you right now and in the closing segment. Call in with your questions, 805-238-5775. That's 238-KPRL. So, Susan, what do you got to share with us?
I just noticed this morning in the Paso Robles Daily News that the SLO County Disaster Recovery Center, which is set up for people who had major disasters and problems from the storms that we just had a few weeks ago, is going to close its office on February 14th, which is next Tuesday. And so anyone who wants to talk to them in person needs to get down to there by February 14th. They're open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day. And it doesn't mean you won't be able to still file a claim if you haven't done so already. You can still get applications for online assistance at disasterassistance.gov until March 16th. But I thought I'd bring that up in case anybody needs to get more information on any problems they had with the storms.
That's great information. And, we're just digging out ourselves out at our neck of the woods. But it's been wild. And I understand Lake Nacimiento is way up to 86%.
Oh, that's nice.
That's great. We got some water in that lake. All right. Well, our guest today is John Couch, the president of the Astrea Warbirds Museum. John grew up in North Dakota, and shortly after graduating high school, he joined the Army, serving in Vietnam as a helicopter door gunner crew chief with the 104th Assault Helicopter Company in the Mekong Delta. Those were Creighton Abram days, right?
Right.
Those were pretty wild, huh? We could probably do a whole show on that, John, couldn't you?
Oh, I'm sure.
All right. Upon returning from Vietnam, he trained as a military policeman and began his career in law enforcement, attending Cal State University Sacramento and the National FBI Academy. John transferred from the Santa Clara Police Department in 1990 to Atascadero, and he joined the department there, and he retired as the chief of police in 2007. John and his wife Margie have lived in Templeton since 1992, where they raise their family, and they also raise Bernadoodles. Wow. All right, John has been an avid sports parachutist and flyer of hang gliders, but he never became a pilot, choosing instead to be a sailor.
That's right.
He's comes from a family of veterans. He's committed to working with the Warbirds team to provide the best museum experience possible while maintaining fiscal responsibility. John, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Well, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about the museum and its mission.
The Astrea Warbirds Museum just celebrated our 30th anniversary, and we are located at the southeast corner of the Paso Robles Airport at 4251 Dry Creek Road. Our mission is to preserve and to restore and display military aircraft and other military memorabilia. And this is not an effort to glorify conflict, rather to make future generations aware that the life that we live did not come without significant sacrifice.
Freedom is not free.
That's correct. You know, we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And we're supported by the admission fees as well as gifts from donors. And we also have on our same site is the Woodland Auto Display. It's a world-class collection of automobiles from Dick Woodland, including race cars and classic cars, motorcycles and such. It's a really good mix with our organization.
You know, I have a special affinity towards the museum because my dad was a bombing gator in World War II, And, of course, our son and daughter-in-law are military police officers, lieutenant colonels in the Army right now, active duty.
Oh,
So it's great. And I have to tell you, we lived here a long time before we actually visited the museum, and I was just floored by the breadth of the displays and everything like that. It's really terrific.
Oh, great. Really, it's getting better all the time.
Yeah, it's amazing. So what types of artifacts are on display?
Well, we have over 40 aircraft, and we have a lot of everything from armored vehicles to trucks, personal military type of memorabilia. We have the inside of our display areas, whether it's displaying armaments or radios, anything like that. I mean, there's so much. It's really hard to say in a short period of time. But
and
it's
the uniforms,
a lot
too.
Yeah,
all these amazing uniforms
amount.
And the medals and all those things that
absolutely.
People wore. It was just astounding.
It's almost overwhelming. What's your favorite? Yeah, because you have the aircraft outside,
yeah.
Obviously.
You know, my favorite it's always been the F-4 Phantom aircraft, in among all the other display aircraft that are outside, the static displays, just because I've seen it in action, and it's just always, you know, some things like that kind of grab onto you. And I think that's one of the things that clicks with people when they come out, is either they participated in some of these things, or they have family members who did. In fact, several of our members flew a couple of the aircraft that are actually on our site.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, it's actually quite moving. I'm not really into all that armament and all that stuff, mm-hmm. but I find it very, very interesting and kind of moving to see, from my point of view, the primitive conditions these people were fighting and flying in. Amazing.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, you know, and I mean, we spent some time at the World War One Museum. It's in Kansas City, I believe, and they've got some beautiful displays. Don't get me wrong, but they got nothing on you guys as far as
this one is just so well done.
Kind of
really friendly to the visitor.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the flight simulator.
It's a really cool demonstration model. It's a F-18 cockpit that was used at Lemoore Naval Air Station for pilot training. And it costs $25 per half hour for someone to rent time on it.
Okay.
But you can go in and a docent will actually guide you through the process and control the system. But you can choose what type of aircraft you're going to fly, what conditions you'll fly under, such as weather, darkness, whether you're going to fly just normal flight or if you want to fly, see what it's like in combat. That type of thing.
Wow.
You can be as aggressive as you want to be, and you can have anywhere up to like 30,000 different airports that you can choose to land on. So it's a really versatile.
We got to try that.
I how did we miss that? I didn't.
Well, I saw it.
You didn't tell me because you knew I'd want to go.
We had the babies with us. You know? We had the kids with us.
And it's important to know you need reservations for it.
Okay.
Because if you go through either the website, or you can go, you call into the bookstore at 238-9317, and you can make reservations typically on a Friday or a Sunday for that.
That's cool. So tell us a little bit about the relationship between the Estrella Ward Birds Museum and the Woodland auto display, because I thought that was pretty incredible.
Yeah, you know, and it's one that initially you look at it and you think, well, what's the combination? How does that work? And I think there was some reluctance initially to add something totally different to the Warbirds Museum in the way of like a car museum. And it's proven to be such an important part of our operation. I mean, a lot of people that come there to see Woodland Auto, and then they'll also come and see the rest of the museum. And that's just because people like both, and there's if you like cars, you'll come out and then check out the rest of the museum. But what we're finding is that people aren't just restricted to enjoying one topic. They like the military side of things. They also like the cars. And when we join together for our Wings and Wheels event in May, it's a big event and it's really popular.
You're going to tell us about that.
Yes,
a while, right.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
So I have who is Dick Woodland? Was he a local person?
Dick Woodland is local.
Okay.
And so he's collected these cars over, a lot of them actually have family history with him that these either raced or his family's raced. And he's just been an avid collector. In fact, he's going to be the speaker at our museum dinner in April. And that's a really good time to really find out all the details on Dick and what kind of drew him into this.
Yeah,
that'll be great. That'll be great.
Because those cars are in pristine condition, too. Oh, I'm not that much of a car person, but I found it fascinating because they're so beautiful and so well kept.
Well, every time you walk in there, you see something different. And it's just, it's a class operation. It really is. Mm-hmm.
So you mean he rotates the cars in and out of there?
Some do, yes. Some will come from other museums and then rotate things through, and then some are stay there.
That's cool.
But it's changing all the time.
Well, you know, it gives you such a feeling. I mean, having kind of grown up in the, certainly in the 50s and 60s, mm-hmm. you know, 70s, I mean, it really gives you that feeling of you know, what you saw when you were a kid, the kind of cars you saw on the road. And,
absolutely.
And I was actually blown away by that one, too. You know, so. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
So tell us, so as long as we're on this, we've got a break coming up. So
all right.
We will, when we return, we're going to talk more with John about the great events and fundraising opportunities at the museum. So stay tuned. We will be back.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. More than 7,200 people are dead from earthquakes in Turkey and Syria, a number that's expected to rise significantly.
Tens of thousands have been injured and homeless. About 400,000 are seeking shelter, and weather is incredibly harsh right now, just making things worse.
Fox's Greg Palcott in southeast Turkey. Ukrainian officials are concerned that Russia will attempt to launch a new offensive as the invasion nears the one-year mark.
Top officials in Kyiv worry about Russian President Vladimir Putin launching symbolic attacks to coincide with the invasion anniversary.
Fox's Trey Yingst is in Kyiv, Ukraine. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says the job market strength and the persistence of inflation pressures means that the Fed will need to keep raising its benchmark interest rate this year. America is listening to Fox News.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hammond Overhead Door Company has the parts and expertise to repair any overhead door. From replacing weather stripping or garage door spring repair to programming garage door openers, their service teams are available for prompt dispatch to your home or business. Quality products and superior service. Hammond Overhead Door Company. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Event made possible by the Mental Health Services Oversight and Accountability Commission. The Apres Brescia Art Gallery in Paso Robles on 10th Street will be hosting a pop-up cafe in Paso Robles on April 22nd. This is a statewide creative arts engagement event with an emphasis on mental health and wellness for veterans, active duty, family members, caregivers, and community members. Contact Apres to find out more. Create a totem of youth and wisdom and be a part of the event on April 22nd. 805-721-0549.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with John Couch, president of the Estrella Warbirds Museum. The KPRL call-in line is 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, John, let's talk about some of the special events that you host throughout the year.
Okay, the main event that we have, like our big fundraiser and just a really exciting event that's open to the public, is the Wings and Wheels. This year will be Wings and Wheels 14, and that's going to be held on May 6th, the Mother's Day weekend, and that'll be where a lot of people, car collectors, car clubs, and all, they'll come out and register and actually participate in judging for their cars in multiple different classes. But it gives them a chance to get out and show their vehicles that they like and to be able to mix with other with like interests that way. And then they also, these cars are interspersed among the aircraft, too, so people get a chance to see all of it. And it also provides for free access to the rest of the museum for going through all the display halls. And so it's just a really good fun time. And then the night before, there's a barn dance, and that's usually has Monty Mills is usually playing that one, okay. And it's a lot of fun. And it's a big dinner and dance and raffles, things like that. So it's just a good time as it goes into the next day, into the actual car show. As far as you can get more information, and you can also get the reservations if you want to place a car into it for the judging, then you can go to ewarbirds.org, and there will be just follow the links that get you to reserving a spot for showing.
When will you start taking reservations?
You can take them right now. Okay. Yeah, we're doing it now. We're full speed into planning. In fact, I have a meeting to go to as soon as I walk out the door here. I'm walking into another one.
All right.
Great. What other types of events do you have to reach out to the public?
Well, the first Wednesday of every month, we have a dinner. And the dinners, it's a catered meal, $25 per person. And along with that dinner is a speaker that would be featured in usually an aviation theme, but not necessarily. But it's some of the fantastic stories that you tell, not only from our own members, but from other people in the aviation industry. Is really it's really interesting, well-received. It's a good group. And so that's one good thing. Also, reservations for that are needed on the Monday prior to the Wednesday dinner, and you can get those reserves on our website.
We went to a few of those, and I was saying in the break that I was stunned at how many local pilots there are here. It was amazing how many people at the dinner have their own planes and fly. I just have not been part of that world, so I was amazed at how many there are.
That, and not only just local pilots, but the history that they have. A lot of those local pilots either flew maybe commercial airliners and military aircraft prior to that. So some of the stories they have and the expertise level they have is really quite fascinating. We also provide group tours upon request for the museum. And we have, what else do we have? We have the main hangar and our meeting hall. Those are open for to be reserved for special events. And we also host different special groups will come in, and just maybe even like the Porsche Club, for instance, will come in and take over the museum for a day while they get together and do whatever they do and then have lunch and all. So there's a lot of different ways that people get into it. And also on the third Saturday of the month, we have rides available in the C-47 Betsy's Biscuit Bomber, which is the plane that flew to Germany to participate in the World War II or the Normandy D-Day invasion.
Really?
And so they will sell tickets for just an hour-long flight locally, and they can sell something like, I think it's around 15 to 19 different seats. But people have found that to be a fascinating way to be able to fly in a vintage aircraft. And it is well-maintained, keeping in mind that it flew to Germany and back.
Yeah.
And now has new engines, so it's really well done, and it's a good aircraft. It's a good way to get a sense of what that was like.
Yeah, you know, when we went to Alaska a number of years ago, we couldn't make it up to Denali, so we ended up taking a C-47 air tour. And the airplane was, you know, tricked out like late 40s with the flight attendants and costume and the whole
and the pilots
thing.
And everything. Pilots. It was really amazing. Right. It was great.
It was cool.
Not bad.
So how much do they charge for the
oh my gosh. You know, I wish you hadn't asked that because I look like I didn't know because I don't know. It's around 100 or 150 or something like that.
Per person.
Yes. Yeah. And if you call into the gift shop, they're at 238-9327 or 9317. You can get on that list, or you can get more specifics on it.
Are you doing a lot of private events, affairs at the museum now?
Oh, yeah. We do several things per month. Ken Newman, our museum manager, is very active in scheduling different events for there. So he's pretty accommodating for that.
Very cool. So I was noticing a couple of things from your monthly newsletter that you mm-hmm. send out. It's really well done, by the way. Whoever's doing this.
Yeah, Steve Locken does that. He does a great job.
Again, having done one of these for many years, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's a lot of work, a lot of work. You know, what I was really gratified to see was the youth programs that you guys are running. Tell us a little bit about that, because I think, you know, kids getting out from behind, away from their phones and electronic devices and getting some grease under their nails is probably a good thing for them.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't think that they realized when they started that program just how good it was going to be. Brad Eaton really is the one that put life to that program. And now, so he and then Mary Allman, who is leading the program now, she's a board member. They meet once a month, and they do everything from restoring specific items, like tearing apart part of an airplane so that you can see how a plane is built, how it operates. They've restored radial engines, so for display, wow. Propellers, things like that. They're also refurbishing one of the, front clip of a tanker aircraft, and they're refinishing that. They've done that F4 demonstration that you see on a trailer sometimes in the parades. Mm-hmm. And they also, it's not just restoring things, they get involved in other classes. In fact, this next month on March, I believe it's 18th, is a Saturday, is a career day, which is great for kids to be involved in that, to see what they have to offer and see what aviation has to offer for kids getting into that. We offer scholarships for students who go into an aviation-related field. And so that's really good. And actually, three of our students have already earned their private pilot's license while they've been a member of that. So it's really well run. And I've volunteered with them for a while, and I just thought, man, this is a great program, because these kids are getting involved. They work hard. They have fun. And they see some things that normally they wouldn't see. So it's a great program.
And I bet they have great pride. If they've restored something, then they want to bring everybody back to the museum and see, look what we did. You know, that's great.
Yeah, you bet.
How many young people have you put through the program?
Well, it's, I think any given time we have, you know, over 20 kids in the program. Mm-hmm. And so there's no set time that they have to be a part of it. But as long as they're willing and wanting to be a part of it, then we keep them busy.
Is there any one particular company that supports this program, or is it just a general? Is like ACI involved?
ACI has been very supportive of us.
What's ACI?
ACI Jet in San Luis.
Okay.
And there are some other donors that I don't know the specifics of mm-hmm. offhand. But there are people, in fact, we're just going to start a relationship with another organization based in San Luis that is going to really open up an entirely different field of aviation to the students that want to get involved in it, along with some life coaching, I guess, would be with the students, so that they don't just learn to do something, but they learn to teach and talk about it. So I'm really excited about that. I was just talking to a gentleman this weekend about that, and I'm looking forward to that as being a part of that youth program.
That's good. Excellent.
So let's roll into the next series of questions here. I just lost my spot. Okay, here we go. Again, our KPRL call-in number is 805-238-5775. So, John, I understand that you guys are considering an expansion project.
Yes, we are. In fact, we're beyond considering it. We're full speed ahead on it. We already have, we gained a lease to the 10 acres adjacent to the current properties on the west side. And we have a engineering study in process right now, so that we can determine what we have to do on the groundwork before we get started. And we have some grant funds that will help us get started and to where we can get some of that work done. And then we plan on building a large hangar, one that would be able to store and preserve like a aircraft like Betsy's, as well as other like large aircrafts, up to three of them that size. And because the weather just beats these things up, and they are so valuable. It's just like a national treasure, I think. And so if we can keep those things preserved, they will last a lot longer. We're also going to have some smaller hangars that we'll have they'll either static displays or they'll have room for other aircraft from other organizations that can come in, and that way we will have like fresh aircraft for people to see, and those would be flyable aircraft, but they're fresh aircraft for people to see, so we can kind of keep things interesting. We're also going to have at least two additional exhibit halls, and so we can have some really good themed exhibits, and then we'll have a large meeting area that we can use for our own meetings as well as rent out for special events for the public.
Well, you know, you've got a lot going on. I mean, tell us, just what comes to mind is you must have a pretty significant paid staff running the museum. I mean, this is not all volunteer work.
Well, yeah.
Is it?
don't mind me for laughing, but well, we don't have a large paid staff, but we have an excellent paid staff.
Okay.
We have a chief operating officer, Scott Stelsley, and the museum coordinator is Ken Newman. We have a bookkeeper, Kathy Croker, and curator is Jill Thayer. And there's probably some other that I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna be held answer for
right.
if I don't remember their names. But they're really the glue that keep it going. But what really is important too is the volunteers that we have. That is really our bread and butter, because there's so much to do, so many things to be a part of, that it takes a lot of volunteers to make it work, either as a docent or somebody that can come in and work, do other type of volunteer work.
Well, before we go into the next break, mm-hmm. why don't you tell people how they can get involved as a volunteer?
Okay. If they call the museum gift shop at 238-9317, they can talk to Ken Newman. Ken will get them dialed in, and we can assess what they're looking for, how much they want to participate. You know, so they don't have to have special skills, just have an interest. And then we'll guide them through. We'll have something they can either work a day a month, 4 days a month, whatever fits their schedule. And they can either work as a docent, either in Woodland Auto or with the Warbirds. And there are also things that they can do. They can help in vehicle registration, automotive restoration. They might participate. They might have some other skills, advertising or marketing or graphic arts, things like that that we can use. Or it could be that we just have a special project. We need, you know, X amount of bodies on a weekend, and they might be able to do that once a month or when it's called.
As we go into the music, why don't you give people, again, your email address is, not your email address, your website address.
Okay, website is ewarbirds.org, and 805-238-9317 is our number.
Great. Well, John, thank you so much for joining us today.
You are welcome.
Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We'll be back.
Yeah.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with stocks finishing higher as investors reacted to Fed Chair Jerome Powell's latest remarks regarding interest rates. Speaking at the Economic Club in Washington this afternoon, Powell said he expects there will be significant declines in inflation this year and ongoing rate hikes will be necessary. And shares of Microsoft, one of the Dow's biggest winners today after the software giant announced an upgrade to its Bing search engine to include the artificial intelligence technology behind ChatGPT. Bed Bath & Beyond stock tumbled after the struggling retailer said it launched an equity offering to raise more than $1 billion to repay debt. The Dow winners, Microsoft, Chevron, and Boeing. The Dow decliners, Home Depot, Procter & Gamble, and Verizon. The Dow rising 266 points. The NASDAQ up 226. S&P 500 up 53. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
It's Jesse Kelly here. I can't afford to lose 30% of my 401k or IRA again, and I'm assuming you can't either. Call Oxford Gold. Securing your IRA or 401k with real gold and silver is a portfolio protection plan, and Oxford Gold has made it easy as 1, 2, 3. One app, one call, and you pick your precious metals. That's it. You now own precious metals. Call Oxford Gold today to learn more about the 1, 2, 3 protection plan. 833-404-GOLD. 833-404-GOLD.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stiefel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stiefel, 238-3080.
Here's Rich London, the mattress specialist in Paso Robles, talking about button-tufted beds.
You know, button-tufted is on the old beds, the old style, and they're the best-made beds today. The button goes all the way through the mattress from top to bottom, and nothing inside can move. So it makes it for a better, longer-lasting bed.
Get the rest of the story on button-tufted beds by talking to Rich London, the mattress specialist, 13th and Riverside, Paso Robles.
Our soothing deep muscle rub, made in small batches. Have you tried it yet on those annoying aches and pains? This is Claire, and I'm Adelaida Botanicals. When you use our salve, not only are you caring for yourself, you're helping keep alive what our county was built on. Small family businesses, good intentions, and neighborly wholesome values. Adelaida Botanicals, a local small family farm on Vineyard Drive, 805-835-8688.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze here, and thanks for being with us today. John was a, you know, Susan, that museum is such a gem.
It really is.
If listeners, if you haven't been there, you need to get out there and support this wonderful cause. It really is great.
It's great, too, when we brought our kids and grandkids there when they came for a visit. It's a wonderful place to bring out-of-towners to spend an afternoon really learning something and having fun.
Yeah, John was telling me.
And they have a great gift shop, too.
Yeah. John was telling me when we spoke a few weeks ago that actually they get more out-of-towners coming into the museum than they have locals a lot of times. So,
well, I think we all get so stuck in our daily routines that how often we say, hey, let's go to a museum. You know, it's often we don't think of doing those things unless we have people come to visit us or something.
Yep. So, listen, we got a little extra time. So this is going to give Susan and I a chance to dive into our stack in a little more stacks. Stack of articles and ideas that we want to share with you. And again, the KPRL call-in number is 805-238-5775. That's 238-KPRL. So I guess the first one on my list, Susan, I mean, how could we not touch on the Chinese spy balloon story? I mean, we were inundated with this thing. It literally came out of the blue, right?
Literally, yeah.
Who would have ever thunk it? And it is, again, spun into a much bigger deal than we ever could have imagined. And folks, I just want to say, I mean, I listened to Bongino. I listened to his podcast. This guy is doing it. And I'm not just saying that because he's on KPRL. He does a great job of tying together a lot of these stories. And I think, you know, he's a good guy to pay attention to. But I think that this Chinese weather balloon, or not weather balloon, spy balloon, really, is actually our Sputnik moment. Okay, and for those of you old enough to remember the late 50s when the Russians kind of skunked us by getting the first satellite into space, people were scared, and I think there's a lot of the same in the United States. People were scared that we were behind the eight ball. There, you remember the missile gap, you know, talks of those days. Again, I was still only 3 or 4 years old, but I certainly remember as I grew up as a kid, you know, the hysteria and the concern, and certainly going into the you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis that I remember.
If I could, well, my perspective, and I could certainly be wrong, but to me, this spy balloon, it's the opposite. I think most people go, big deal. So what? You know, as it's like people are more freaked out about a virus than you know, something like that, because we've just kind of been trained to and so focused inwardly on ourselves that I don't think we're always paying attention to the bigger issues out there. Well, that's my perspective, anyway, from people I talk to.
Well, again, and this goes back to the whole, we talked about it, I guess, the last show of the year with Dick about the generational theory of history. And it all depends on which generations are in charge in ascendancy or descendancy. And that's probably why, you know, the people who they're just not tuned into this. They don't mm-hmm. know what to believe anymore. But this
there's a reason for that, right? With the way the media has gone, you don't know who to believe or what to believe anymore. It's
right.
Very, very challenging.
Well, and this so I did some research on this and have done a lot of reading. And one of the articles that I picked up was from a guy named Stephen Bryan, from the Center for Security Policy, and his take is that this Chinese balloon exposes massive vulnerability to our country. Number one, and I think his point is well taken, is that the biggest vulnerability is what's our military doing? As this story is unfolded, it turns out it's not the first Chinese weather balloon that has crossed our territory, you know, and into our airspace. But the number one vulnerability I see is the kind of layback attitude and the fact that, you know, the military doesn't perceive China as an adversary, let alone an enemy. And so that's number one. The other thing, and I think Bongino even mentioned this morning, is this would have been a perfect delivery system for an electromagnetic pulse weapon. Okay, it's just floating over our most sensitive military sites in Montana and around the country. And if, for those of you who aren't familiar with an EMP, when a nuclear bomb explodes, it destroys the electrical grid. Batteries don't work, nothing will work.
And apparently to do that, to destroy the electrical grid, it doesn't even have to be a gigantic nuclear bomb. Right. We're not talking Nagasaki here. It can be much smaller, but it can still mess up the electrical system.
So I think that, you know, clearly the Chinese are spying on us. And that's my next, and which comes as no surprise. But here's the other story from the ancient past that I'm going to bring in and then talk about even a bigger issue that I think than this balloon, Susan. And that is, if you, again, both of us weren't around at this point, but the Alger Hiss story. You know, we've always had spies in our government, you know, and people who've been compromised by foreign countries. I mean, at one time, even Aaron Burr was tried for treason. He didn't get convicted, but he was tried for treason back, I believe, in the first decade of the 1800s.
And explain who he is?
Aaron Burr was like one of the founding fathers, and he didn't like Thomas Jefferson very much, and he was trying to create his own country down in Florida. Before Florida was part of the country. And so, but anyway, Alger Hiss, of course, was in the 1930s and 40s, was a State Department official who was basically part of the Russian, spying system, you know, and that was very well developed in the United States. And he was taken down by two people, Whitaker Chambers, who wrote a book called Witness, you should read it, and Richard Nixon, of all people, who exposed this. Well, I mean, one of the stories that came out of this is that, and this is from a report from 2018 from the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission, titled China's Overseas United Front Work. Remember that term, United Front Work. Its background and implications for the United States. And the article starts out by saying China uses United Front Work to co-opt and neutralize sources of potential opposition to the policies and authorities of its ruling Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. And they do this by, they have overseas operations in almost every country they're doing business with. They have affiliate organizations. It's guided by these Chinese fronts. It is precisely what Xi Jinping and the CCP have been doing now for several decades. And I'm going to quote this article. It is precisely the nature of the United Front Work to seek influence through connections that are difficult to publicly prove and to gain influence that is interwoven with sensitive issues such as ethnic, political, and national identity, making those who seek to identify the negative effects of such influence vulnerable to accusations of prejudice. Okay.
Yeah, so they're really smart.
So this all...
They think all these things through a lot more than we do. Yep. And, you know, they're incredibly strategic.
Yes.
You have to give them credit for that. They're very strategic, and they figure out where are the soft spots, where are the vulnerable parts in a country like ours.
Right.
There's lots of them because we've been so open. Well, and then they exploit them to the max.
Well, I'm going to point out the most vulnerable one organizations that, they've infiltrated all over the country. But just another article that came up from 2020 quotes then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, is the Chinese Communist Party is using United Front work for coercing and bullying those who oppose Beijing's policies. This is per Mike Pompeo, our former Secretary of State. Well, where have they infiltrated the most? Well, you could guess it. The our university, college and university system. And this is from the American Spectator, January 15th, 2021. Between 2014 and 2019, Chinese state-owned entities donated at least $315 million to U.S. universities. Okay, this is according to the Washington Free Beacon. And let me just give you a quick rundown of how much money we're talking about to which universities. Harvard received, and this was only through 2019, okay? Harvard received almost $200 million. Yale, about the same, a little less. Notice this one. University of Pennsylvania. Now, where have you heard about that recently? The Biden Center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They received $95 million. MIT, Caltech, they've all received huge amounts of money. Those are our number one.
Well, and even beyond that, isn't there, we'll talk about that. We'll pick that up in a moment. But the Confucius Project, where they actually send over their students and their scientists and their professors then to infiltrate these organizations.
Well, yes, they're on many, many campuses. But yes, we will return with a little bit more of this in our last segment. Stay tuned.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Nick Madera, CPA in Atascadero. What is the ERC, the Employee Retention Credit?
My kind of take on it, in layman's terms, it's a thank you to business owners for keeping their employees on payroll during the pandemic. Basically, you're reclaiming payroll expenses for those employees you kept on during the pandemic, but there's rules you got to play by. There's two ways to qualify. One of them is you were directly affected by a government shutdown. So restaurants, retail, had to close their doors, automatic qualifier. The other way is you had to have a 50% drop in gross revenue comparative from like 2020 to 2019, the same quarter, and then from 2021 between 2020 and 2019. So there's various ways you can calculate it to see if you meet that 50% threshold. That's how a lot of companies are doing this thing. So it's all based on payroll.
Make sure your business takes advantage of every deduction available. For more information on the Employee Retention Credit, the person to talk to is Nick Medeiros, CPA in Atascadero. Call 805-466-7249.
Are you ready to move your interior wish list to the done list? Knight's Carpets and Interiors has you covered with savings. Save on European oak hardwood floors at an unbelievable $695 per square foot. Save with window treatment rebates. Save with window treatment tax credits. For a free estimate, call 237-1400. Visit Knight's Carpets and Interiors, 3320 Ramada Drive, or go to knightscarpets.com.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze here. Thanks for joining us today. It's been a great show between the Astraea Warbirds Museum and then also getting an opportunity to reduce the size of my article stack here a little bit. Our call-in number is 805-238-5775. That's 238-KPRL. So let me just kind of hit on a couple more points. Susan brought this up before the break, and one of the big infiltration points, as Susan mentioned, are these Confucius Institutes, okay, that are basically supposedly places of cultural wonder on our college campuses, but they are really in most cases, a conduit for spying. Okay, and according to Mike Pompeo, again, according to from this article in The Spectator, Confucius Institutes, according to then-Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, are funded by the PRC and part of the Chinese Communist Party's global influence and propaganda apparatus. According to opening remarks and statements, these Confucius Institutes agree to abide by Chinese law, get this, censor content dealing with Taiwan and Tiananmen Square massacre, and can have content vetoed by Chinese officials. So these organizations are controlled by the People's Republic of China, the Communist Party of China.
Right.
One of the biggest jokes, I mean, it was very funny when this whole balloon thing happened, when it came out. China said, oh, no, that's just a civilian, that's a private air balloon that went off course. There is nothing private in China. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of amazing that our military let it go all the way diagonally across our whole country before they shot it down. They could have shot it down before it came over the continental United States, but...
Correct.
So, and they seem... The guy, I don't remember his name, the general who's been on TV a few times.
Millie?
He seems pretty... Not Millie. The other one. Seems pretty lame in the way he's talking about it. You know, it's not real convincing here.
Right.
So it seems like they just don't have their act together, or they're covering for something.
And then another connected story, again from the New York Post, February 5th. 54 million in Chinese gifts donated to the University of Pennsylvania, home of the Biden Center. Isn't that where they found all these
classified
documents?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again,
but I'm sure that's just a coincidence.
Yeah. Like I said, follow Bongino. And then... couple more things, and then Susan's got something we're going to tee off on. But apparently, we have a congresswoman by the name of Judy Chu, who is a Democrat, no less. And this is from the Daily Caller of January 26th. And basically, it says California Democrat Representative Judy Chu joined the All-American Chinese Youth Federation in 2012 and remains listed as an honorary president on its nonprofit website. During Chu's tenure, its leadership had included multiple individuals who belong to Chinese-based organizations that allegedly operate at front groups for the Chinese intelligence service. And again, apparently... there's a lot of staff sharing going on between Congresswoman Chu's office and these organizations.
And is she federal or state?
She's a congresswoman.
So
she's
federal.
In Congress.
Great.
From Los Angeles.
Kind of like, what was it, Senator Feinstein's Chinese driver that was driving around for 12 years.
Yeah.
You know, but again, it's all just a coincidence, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I'm going to totally change.
Can I just do one more?
Oh, sorry.
I just got one more. I want you to change this.
Our listeners, too.
But, again, if you missed this news story, again, from the Daily Caller, Chinese police station in New York closes after FBI raid. So basically, America Shangale Association, a Manhattan Chinatown organization, which claimed to serve overseas Chinese, yet reportedly housed a Chinese government police station tied to a Chinese intelligence agency, has recently closed for unknown reasons. This according to the National Review. So again, these Chinese police stations, we have several of them, had several of them in the United States, but they're all over the world.
I think we have a few more in the States, actually.
Yep.
And they're
yep.
supposedly for the Chinese government to monitor and police their own citizens who live
yes.
in other countries. But, of course, there's probably a little more going on.
These are like the cells that the KGB was running here in the 20s and 30s, infiltrating our government. So, anyway,
yeah,
Susan.
It's important that we just know this and keep our eyes open.
Yep.
Because they don't sleep, apparently. Anyway, totally, totally different subject. But I saw a little article on this, and because it happened to me just a few weeks ago during the storms when we had electricity, I have a little space heater in my office. And I plugged it into a power strip, and all of a sudden it started making these terrible hissing and sizzling noises. Thank God I was standing right next to it, so I unplugged it, but I just saw an article that said do not plug space heaters into power strips or extension cords, but always plug them directly into the wall outlet because these heaters have a very high current flow of electricity and the power strips are not designed to handle it, so you can really cause a fire. So that was just one of those little safety tips I saw because it happened to me. Like I said, it was making a terrible noise that it had never made before.
So I'm glad I didn't throw it away.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I think it was just that I plugged it into the wrong
thing.
That's
good to know.
Yeah.
So, you know, before we're coming up on the end of the hour, but tell us about next week's show with Sherry Gabler, who's a pet chiropractor, right?
Gabler, right.
Gabler.
Dr. Sherry Gabler is a pet, an animal chiropractor that I've been bringing our dogs to her for almost 5 years now. And she has a very amazing story of how she got into this work, and I can vouch for the fact that she is amazing at it. With our old dogs now that are getting kind of weak in the hind end, she can keep them going by doing these treatments that are very gentle every few weeks. So be happy to have her on board.
And she was a veterinarian, too, at one time.
She was not a veterinarian, no.
Okay, I'm thinking of somebody else.
Yep.
So that's going to be Sherry Gabler at next on the 14th, right?
Right.
And then we have a really special guest coming on the 21st, a really unbelievable gentleman, Pete Clark from Clark Land Company, is going to be coming on to talk about what's going on in the cattle ranching business. There's a lot of things happening, and Pete's a great spokesman. So again, we really enjoyed having you today. It was a fast-moving show. Again, don't forget, you can call us at Blaze & Bear Insurance Services, 805-635-7200. Or email us at info@blazeandbear.com. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze. Send your questions and show topic ideas to Barry@blazeandbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's